Today on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Rolf.
Hey, I'm not worried about my BC days. I'm worried about what I'm doing in my AC days. That after Jesus Christ has saved me, that there are still areas in which I fail and I sin. And the thing that concerns me the most about it is a lot of times I don't think about it until I go to the Lord and I dig into His Word and I realize, oh man, I am judging this person. I am thinking a thought that's not glorifying to God at all. Sometimes it's something as simple as, I just spent a day doing nothing. I just wasted time. That's not good. That's not right. I just spent a whole week without getting much done, or without sharing the Lord with someone, or without just calling someone out of the blue to check up on them.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my instrument I play, wake up my voice, let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
God is speaking to His people. Question is, are you listening and obeying? Today on The Balanced Word, we'll turn to Psalm 19 and discover how God speaks through His Word. It can restore you, make wise the simple, and so much more. Here to unpack it all for us, Pastor Dave Rolf with part two of God Speaks.
As it says, the testimony of the Lord is sure and solid, making wise the simple. Ooh, that means we're simple. If it helps us go from simple to wise, we must be simple. Simple's a nice word. It's a nice way of saying stupid. But the truth is, it's saying you're dumb. And so, look, the word is perfect for you. I don't know if I like that. Too bad. And the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. You saying I need joy? What are you saying? Are you saying I'm not happy enough? Well, if you're happy enough, if you really like the way you are, then I guess the word isn't quite as valuable for you as it is for someone else. But the truth is, you can't get too happy. You can't get too much joy. And joy is not the ability to communicate what you don't really feel. Joy is something that comes forth from your heart and is manifested forth. And so you and I, as we look at the word, we're confronted first of all with the fact that our joy isn't quite what it ought to be. I don't like that. I hate it when people tell me I should be happier. I'm so annoyed when people come up and go, Dave, why don't you smile? Oh, shut up. I have a way of taking your smile off your face. I'll wipe it off right now. But the truth is, we don't have the joy that we ought to have. Our level of joy is not what God's creation deserves, is not what He has intended for us. And so, again, convicted of our joy. Enlightening the eyes, the commandment of the Lord that's pure does. That means there's something missing in our eyes. Some of the life and the light, the fire that should be reflected in our lives. That something that just speaks just with a look. Hey, we can talk all we want about how good God is. But if our eyes don't dance and sparkle, if there isn't a life there, there's something missing. And I don't like to be told that. I hate looking in the mirror and just going, oh man, do I feel as bad as I look? And yet, God says, my word can put a light in your eyes. My word can do this for you, but you have to realize that you need it. As he goes on and talks about, his judgments are true and righteous. His fear is clean and endures forever. That lets us know that we're less than true and less than righteous. We're less than permanent. And so as we look at what His Word tells us it does for us and the value that it has, it's kind of embarrassing because it's pointing out what we need. It's the way you feel when someone that you don't know that well offers you a breath mint. It's like, oh man, what? And maybe they're just being nice, but I'm hesitant to give breath mints to people because I know sometimes when someone gives me one, it's like, and then especially if you go, no, that's okay. No, really. And so here God is saying, I want to give you all of this, but then behind it is, you need it. take it. Accept it. Do this in your lives. Oh, no, I'm good. Oh, no, you're not. And as he goes on here in this last section and applies it in a personal, intimate way, he says, who can understand his errors? Verse 12, cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Or the word there means rebellion. He's saying, you know what? Something I need to share with you. I have a secret that I'm going to reveal with you. You're not as good as you think you are. You're not as together as you pretend. And so David, realizing this as he looks at the word and sees his own shortcomings, he says, God, I want you to share with me the secrets that I don't even know. I don't understand why I do what I do. I don't understand why other people do what they do. But God, if you've got answers to the secrets, I'm listening. I'm asking you to point out to me what the deal is. When it comes to sin, there are two kinds of secrets, really. One kind of secret is where you know this is what you're struggling with. You're sinning and you know it, but you're good enough at faking it that no one else does. You're keeping your sin a secret from everyone else. But another kind of sin, and he's referring to this as well, is where you are sinning blatantly. Everyone can see it. Anyone who knows you would point out, yes, that is your predominant sin, but you don't know it. It's an awful feeling when you're doing something foolish and no one wants to tell you, but everyone knows. You've been around hundreds of people somewhere, and then finally somebody pulls you aside and says, pull your zipper up, or, you know, your shirt's hanging out of your pants, or, go like that. And it's like, oh, man, why didn't somebody say something? Our sin is that way. Most of our sins, I think, other people can readily see in us, but we can't see them in ourselves. And so it's this prayer of saying, God, as I look at your word and as I see your glory, Lord, would you point out to me the things that I don't see? Cleanse me from secret faults. The failures that I am ignoring, God, show them to me. This is a hard prayer to pray because it's going to get personal. The truth is, in every conflict that we are in and in every area of our lives, we think we're right. We usually do the things that we intend to be right. And yet there are some blind spots that we have. Every time I talk to people who are having a conflict, the problem is both sides think they're right. Both sides think they're true. Both sides think that if the other person would go along with me, everything would be fine. But there are secrets that we all carry with us. And we don't want to see them. We are in denial about them. And yet, the wise thing to do is to go to the Lord and say, God, if there's a secret about me, I want to know it. If there's something that I don't see, a sin that I'm committing that I don't have, don't realize I have, God, please show it to me. Sin is a funny thing. We tend to categorize, well, I don't know if I should say sin is a funny thing. It's weird the way it relates to us because we categorize sins in certain categories and we excuse certain sins and accept them completely in ourselves. Other sins we know we have, we wouldn't want anyone to know, but it's just there and we've decided to come to terms with it. And there are other things that as we grow, we get victory over when we start to think we've got it together. Many of us, when we came to the Lord, God gave us victory over some major areas of sin. You start to notice people changing. I remember when I came to the Lord, so many things changed in my life that I didn't even try to change myself. Horrible things that I was doing habitually and routinely, and now it was just, there was no place anymore. God took the desire away even, and for that I'm grateful. For some people, they struggle with some of these things longer, but for me, when I came to the Lord, I wasn't interested in smoking or taking drugs or drinking or committing crimes and things like that anymore. I just didn't do it. I didn't just go, things have been good with the Lord, but I think this weekend I'm going to go steal a car just for old time's sake. I just didn't want to do it. And it was kind of glaring because my sins were so obvious to people who knew me. Then when it changed, it was really obvious, and I started feeling pretty good. Like, boy, I've knocked all the big stuff out of the way. Trouble with sin is there are no big stuff. There aren't things that are just, oh, these are the major ones, and these are the ones that don't matter. So what happens is we continue to sin, but we're not aware that we even do, and we need God to reveal it to us. And so as he goes on, he says, keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. That is, keep me from doing things that in my pride, I just think I can afford to overlook them. I'm entitled to do them. They aren't a big deal. Now, when you think about your sins, the sins of your life, do you think about the things that you did before you were a Christian? And now you're feeling pretty good about most of those? Well, that's good. Praise God that he took those token sins away from you. But I have news for you. You are just as much a sinner today as you were the day you came to the Lord. And if you think you aren't, then you're being presumptuous. If you think you aren't, your pride is blocking your ability to see those things that you continue to do that, as far as God's concerned, they're just as damning, they're just as hurtful, they're just as dangerous as all those other sins you used to commit. And so rather than get together and just, hey, let's make each other feel better because we all used to do this. And boy, back in my BC days, hey, I'm not worried about my BC days. I'm worried about what I'm doing in my AC days. That after Jesus Christ has saved me, that there are still areas in which I fail and I sin. And the thing that concerns me the most about it is a lot of times I don't think about it until I go to the Lord and I dig into his word and I realize, oh, man. I am judging this person. I am thinking a thought that's not glorifying to God at all. Sometimes it's something as simple as, I just spent a day doing nothing. I just wasted time. That's not good. That's not right. I just spent a whole week without getting much done, or without sharing the Lord with someone, or without just calling someone out of the blue to check up on them. Secret, presumptuous sin. It's still failure. It still hurts and damages. And we need to take God's word and apply it in our lives in such a way that it's okay for him to tell us that we fail. He also talks about sin having dominion over me there in verse 13. Anything that has dominion over us is not good for us. We have this, when we think of addiction, we think of just a handful of things. Oh, we think of people who have an alcohol addiction, obviously. Yep, alcoholics, they're a special breed of people. And then we think of, you know, drug addicts. And now there are people who talk about sexual sins in a way that they refer to it as addictive. But so often we think that there are certain people who just have addictive personalities. Experts tell us that's true. You need to dig a little deeper, because the truth is we all have addictive personalities. You just pick your poison. You just decide what you're going to be addicted to. And the truth is anything that has dominion over you, anything that you can't let go of, may for you be a sin. Now, I always have people ask me about, is it okay for Christians to drink alcohol? And I say, it's not okay for me. I don't drink it. Personally, though, my thing is, it's not some deep biblical issue. The fact is, I've seen so many lives ruined by it. I've seen so many kids who, I've stood there at a grave over a kid who gave his life because of something like that. I've seen families ripped apart by someone not able to handle that. I've seen the pile-ups and the devastation that comes from that stuff that, honestly, when I look at an alcoholic beverage, it makes me kind of sick. I just feel like I don't want that at all. But I'm not telling you that for you, if you decide to have a glass of wine with dinner or whatever, that you're living in sin. But here's the thing. Why do you want to argue about it? Do you need it that badly? Do you really feel that your life would be empty without it? Then that's a clue. That's a hint. Maybe that is something that has dominion over you. If you want to know whether alcohol has dominion over you, stop. Stop drinking it. See what happens. See if you can handle that. Same thing with anything else. Let's not just pick on the drunks and the drug addicts. How about people that have to have their sports? How about people that have to watch their particular shows on TV? How about people who have certain activities, or they have to have a new car every year, or they need to have a bigger house, or they always want to buy something else, or they, there are a lot of things. And I don't mean to meddle, but there are a lot of things that have dominion over us. And we should be going to the Lord and saying, God, if there's something that is trapping me, if there's something that's controlling me, I want to offer it up to you, because I just don't want to live addicted to anything other than you and to your word. And that's something that is a useful and helpful exercise for all of us. Don't argue whether something's right or wrong. Ask yourself, does it have dominion? Paul talked about this over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 when he, talking about doubtful things, he said, all things are lawful for me, but there are some things that take control of me. And so for each of us, that should be the prayer of our heart too. God, I'm looking, is there something I am doing so regularly and consistently that maybe I would be better off without it? And so again, the prayer, don't let them have dominion over me. And then he says, I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgression or rebellion. The danger for all of us is that sin has the capacity to bring us into rebellion against God. And it doesn't happen in a really obvious way for most people. For some people it does. But for most people, all we want to do is just mellow out. And all we want to do is have nobody mess with us. And I'm getting on with my life and it's feeling really regular and really comfortable and really okay. And, you know, my sins aren't bugging me anymore, and that's good. And I've taken care of the major ones, and the others nobody will find out about. I've covered them up, and so I'm all right. And yet the problem is, ultimately, that leads us to rebellion against God. Ultimately, that takes us to a place where, how did I get so far away from God? Just from donuts? Just from, you know, football? Rebellion is the result. If we choose to not allow God to open us up, to convict us of sin, sin isn't something that people like to talk about a lot. It's the elephant in the living room that we try to ignore. Nowadays, you'll bounce around to a lot of churches and spend a lot of Sundays before you ever hear the S word, sin, because it makes me uncomfortable. But that's precisely why we need to talk about it. And that is the value of God's revelation to us. In his word that convicts us, and in our hearts by his Holy Spirit, as he makes us uncomfortable and then goes in there and fixes what's broken and restores what's been lost. And if we can't handle that, if we can't deal with the fact that we are sinners, then we will continue in our disease, if you want to call it that. There's a sense when people always go, oh, sin isn't a disease. Yeah, it is in a way. It's something that's destroying you. It's eating you up. It's tearing you apart. It will rip you off of everything that's valuable. It's sick. But not only that, there's a remedy, and that's the sad thing. If we will go before God and say, God, I need you to do this work in my life. I need you to show me the secrets. I need you to reveal to me my pride and presumption. I need for you to deliver me from these things that control, these things that are overpowering me. And God, I want you to do that work in my life. If we stop doing that, we stop hearing from God. And life gets more comfortable because God has a way of saying things that are uncomfortable. You may have friends in your life who have a way of saying things that make you nervous or uncomfortable. And yet later you go, but they were really right. Well, God's that friend. He can't sit here and pretend like you're okay right now. I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay. Hey, God is not real seeker friendly in that way, because he loves you so much that when he sees something that's broken on you, he wants to fix it. When he sees you banging your head against the wall, he wants to tell you to stop doing it. And when he sees you infected with something that's destructive in your life, he will point it out, because he is a good and a faithful friend. And he has the remedy. It's, you know, if someone points out things that you can't do anything about, it's kind of frustrating. You know, I can't tell you how to fix it, but I can sure tell you what's wrong with it. Thanks. But God, this all-powerful God who created the universe, he can fix what's wrong with us. The really interesting and sad thing is that most of the time when he is speaking to us personally, we resent it. Hey, we're fine with general revelation. Yeah, the heavens, nature, it's beautiful. And we're okay with the word of God as long as it doesn't get too personal. But God begins to work in our lives in such a way that we're uncomfortable. We find ourselves frustrated and angry, and we're blaming others, and we're going through all of this torture. And we can't even see. It's God going, "You have a secret. I'm trying to bring that secret out. I want to deal with something that's going to make your life so much better, but you're going to have to listen." You go, "I don't want to listen. I want to yell. I want to argue with you. I want to blame somebody." Oh, so much of the pain that we experience in our lives is God talking to us.
You're listening to The Balanced Word with our pastor and teacher, Dave Rolf. We're going through the Psalms, and stay with us for more teaching from Pastor Dave in just a moment. These programs are available by podcast at thebalancedword.com. Thebalancedword.com. We'd also like to offer you Pastor Dave's Through the Bible series on a USB thumb drive for a gift of $20 or more. Go Through the Bible with Dave by ordering this special series today. Call 949-362-7475 or go to thebalancedword.com. Your gifts help to make these shows possible on stations like this one all across the nation. Thank you for standing with us with either a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com or again call 949-362-7475. Have you had a chance to listen to Pastor Dave's one-minute messages? You can listen to those at thebalancedword.com and even join our mailing list so we can deliver them to you each day. You can also watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. We'd love to have you join us for a Sunday service at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too, ccpacifichills.org. If we can pray for you in any way, we ask that you contact us through thebalancedword.com or by calling us at 949-362-7475. Let's go shopping now with Pastor Dave as we close.
Many people, when it comes down to it, they just don't read the Bible. They don't want to hear from God, and they don't go to church anymore. They find some place where they can go to church where no one will ever say anything that'll make them feel bad or uncomfortable. It's just giving up. But if we really understand how great God is, then Him pointing out what's wrong is not a threat at all. It's a glorious opportunity. You know, I think of reading the Bible as kind of like shopping. And if you will look at it this way, if you'll read this passage this way, if every time you read the word, you see it this way, it's going to help your perspective a lot. Now, here's what I mean by shopping. When you go shopping, and we all like shopping, it's just we like shopping for different things. But shopping for a woman or even a man who, if you like to shop for clothes, say, but if you... You walk into a store and you go, "Oh, look at that. I like that. I want that." You walk a little further. "Oh, it would look good with these shoes. I want those shoes. Oh, that is perfect." And sometimes if we have friends with us, they're going, "That would look good on you. That'd be, why don't you get that?" Men tend to shop in different ways. We see a car and go, "Oh, I want that." Or we tend to see something, you know, a jet ski or something and go, "Oh, would that be fun?" Or, you know, we buy four-wheel drive vehicles that'll never leave the road just in case we, you know. But we all like to shop. But here's the way God wants us to read His Word and to read His creation as well. Here's how you hear from God. Take a look at what it is that He is and you're not and go, "Oh, I want that." Instead of going, "You know, I didn't like the way Dave was talking about joy. because I have a lot of joy. It's just inside. Okay, fine. But how different would it be if we see in the Word or we see in another person, you know, that person has so much joy. They're always smiling. They always seem to be up. Oh, I want that. I want that. Go shopping.
We'll get back into Psalm 19 tomorrow on The Balanced Word as Pastor Dave Rolf continues through the Psalms. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up my soul. Wake up. My hands and yeah.